You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, LockedOnPelicans.com editor and credential member of the media, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with you all on this Tuesday, day after the Pelicans get blown out at home, 133-109 to the Utah Jazz. Basically, just they've now lost four out of five since the DeMarcus Cousins injury with four blowout losses. So this team is reeling, not ideal. They now are in the eighth spot in the Western Conference as they kind of slide down from that singular perch they had at the sixth seed. So tenuously grabbing to life as the Clippers and now Utah Jazz definitely mount a run for that final playoff spot in the Western Conference. We're going to break down this game, talk a little bit about what we saw. Was this one of those games where you should just kind of shrug and be like, there was hot shooting, there's nothing to do? Or are there things to take away? And I think it's more of the latter. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, you know, trade deadline, what happened with Greg Monroe, buyout candidates, different things like that. And we'll kind of wrap everything all up in the third segment here of today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So before we begin, there was no podcast yesterday. Injured my leg over Mardi Gras, spent most of yesterday over at urgent care getting x-rays. Good news is I did not fracture my shin bone. The bad news is it is still very swollen. I got a bit of a limp as I walk, so not a fun situation. That was the reason why no podcast yesterday. So we got a lot to talk about in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. First and foremost, this 133-109 loss for the New Orleans Pelicans to the Utah Jazz. Not an ideal game back at home. The crowd was pretty sparse, and you have to figure it's only going to get worse on Wednesday's game against the Indiana Pacers when there are Mardi Gras parades going on. New Orleans, just overall, not a good night. This is a team that, you know, kind of looked good to end the first half. They made it a close game despite being down by as many as 13. Utah had as big of a lead as 26 on the night. Both teams scored 60 points in the paint, so the Pelicans kind of did what they wanted. There were periods when they were aggressive and they were attacking, and they were led by Anthony Davis, who had 14 points in the first half, but was then held to 15 points total, 1 point in the second half. He vanished, it's safe to say, and that's really all there is to it. He vanished, and the team kind of as a whole followed his lead, and no one really showed up in the second half to play a ton or play defense. Now, it's easy to get dispirited when you are under a barrage of three-pointers that have, you know, no hope of missing. The Jazz at one point shot 92% from three. That was going into the third quarter, deep into the third quarter. They finished 14 of 21 on the night, 66.7%. I mean, that is just straight up absurd. So when you're kind of just under a deluge of threes, it can really break you and make you disappointed, kind of get you down, and there's not much you can do there. You know, along with shooting 58.4% from the field and 88.2%, they missed two total free throws in the game. Now, when that happens, yeah, you get your spirit gets broken and you just don't really care. And we saw that from Anthony Davis, and as the team's leader, they can't really have that happening with him. He's got to be out there playing both quarters like this is the OKC game. He's shown up against good teams and big games on the road a lot this year, but you've also seen him vanish at times, which has been very disappointing to see. This is, again, the guy who's supposed to be the best player on the team, the league MVP, and he is, and he still just kind of sleepwalks through games this far into the season. And maybe it's just this team is still reeling mentally from the DeMarcus Cousins injury. And I think that's a very safe and fair thing to say at this point. But at the same time, if you want to be one of the greats, and you guys have heard me talk about how AD thinks and his mindset, you don't go out and you don't play like this. And he did. And that's the disappointing thing. You don't want to point to anyone and just single him out and be unfair to him. But Davis of 6 of 16 shooting on the night, basically just not showing up to play in the second half, is disappointing. And look, you have Rudy Gobert, who takes away the paint and is largely neutralized the offense of Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins when he plays them. That is a very real thing. Davis was 0 of 7 in the second half. It wasn't like he wasn't taking attempts. But you're without DeMarcus Cousins. You can take more than 7 field goal attempts. And you need to try and take the attempts in maybe a better way because or different shots, be aggressive and attack. He settled for a lot of mid-range jump shots, which I thought was actually a good thing in the first half when Gobert was taking away the paint. Now, in the second half, he still was kind of doing that, but not quite. He was looking more to try and get inside, but you only do it with three shot attempts at the rim at that point, two of them of your seven being threes as well, and two kind of mid-rangers in the paint. The mid-range was working in the first half. Do it in the second half. Like, sometimes this isn't really hard, and you've got to wonder, really, what is going on with the Pelicans. Jazz, meanwhile, basically took threes, took a few mid-rangers, but looked to get all their work done in the paint. Again, 60 points in the paint for them with, you know, a guy like Rudy Gobert who isn't the most gifted offensively. So this game, I don't want to quite say this, but I'm going to, so we'll see if this is smart or not, but you can definitely see like a well-coached team versus maybe not as well of a well-coached team. And that's kind of what happened last night. Quinn Snyder, the Jazz head coach, is excellent. I think everyone seems to really know this, and his team plays hard after they kind of had a slump earlier on in the year. Has come back and rebounded into form. They've been one of the hottest teams over the past, eight, nine games, where they are just straight up lighting it up on the scoreboard. They blew out the Warriors. This was the highest they've scored in a win in a number of years. But they've been putting up 120, I think, in four straight games. So it easily could just be one of those nights. But when you have a guy like Ricky Rubio who's picking you apart to the tune of 20 points and 11 assists with only two turnovers, Rudy Gobert's got 19 points and 10 rebounds and kind of controlled the boards at times, not as much as he normally does, against the Pelicans. You have Rodney Hood, who went 12 of 14 for 30 points because no one was really guarding him from three whatsoever. And then you have Joe Ingles, a slow-footed but well-rounded player. It's the small forward position, putting up 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. You know, it's going to be tough to kind of compete when those guys are firing like that. But they're firing like that because the defense from the Pelicans was so bad. They weren't engaged. They didn't want to contest on the three-point line. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that this is probably the worst defense we've seen out of the Pelicans this season. So quickly before moving on to Nikola Mirotic, that's who I want to talk about a little bit in the next segment. Don't forget, we are running a raffle for two sets of four tickets to almost a game of your choice. Maybe not quite, but pretty close to that. To help out Leonce T. Bailey, the usher at the Smoothie King Center who lost everything in a fire. That wasn't his fault. Kind of a tragic just circumstance. Donate $10 or more to the Kickstarter. That's all it takes. And you get entered in for a chance to win two sets of four tickets to an upcoming Pelicans game. And we're going to try and get you in the lower bowl as well. And as a bonus, if you want, I will sit and watch the whole game with you guys. We will talk basketball. We will have a great time. Or if you just want all four seats, take them and ignore me and don't worry about me whatsoever. Goes to a good cause. Let's raise some money. We're right at around $1,000 right now. We're not trying to buy him a house, a car, just to replace some of the stuff that he's kind of lost. So go check it out. It's over on my Twitter page, at NolaJake. So Nikola Mirotic, the Pelicans' newest big man, has gotten two games with the team now, one off the bench, one more recently as a starter, and kind of had mixed results in both of these two games. His first game against the Minnesota Timberwolves this past Saturday, played 35 minutes, was 6 of 13 from the field, 3 of 8 from deep, got to the line 3 of 5 from there, grabbed 12 rebounds, including 6 offensive boards, which against that Minnesota team is fairly impressive, and put up 18 total points while having 4 steals. So like a pretty, very great debut for the Pelicans' newest big man. And this comes on the heels of him, as Alvin Gentry said, he had brunch with the team, then he went and played a game. So pretty good all around for him. But in the Jazz game, he kind of fell back down to earth. He was named a starter, played basically 33 minutes, was 2 of 8 from the field, 0 for 4 from deep, didn't really get to the line, just took 2 free throw attempts, had 3 total rebounds for 5 points. So a quiet night for him as the starters. And I was on WWL radio last night recapping the game on double coverage with Seth Dunlap and Christian Garrick. And they asked me, you know, what went on there and maybe how long till he feels comfortable with this team and his role and what he needs to be doing. And, you know, it's a good question, I think, actually, because he did look like he was very out of sorts last night. So to that, I said, I think it's going to take about a week. And my reasoning here is kind of speculative, of course, But look, when you fly in and you just got to go out and play a basketball game, that's easy. You can go out and you can shoot when you get some open shots, which he did. You know, he looked tentative at times in that Minnesota game, passing up shots you would have maybe liked to have seen him take. He looked a little bit unsure of his role in this offense and what he should be doing, where he should be on the court. You saw a little bit of clashing space-wise with Anthony Davis, though. That will get better with time. But what happened here in the game in New Orleans against the Jazz, and I think this is where just kind of life comes at you and you've got stuff on your mind. He made it very clear that with the Pelicans picking up the second year of his option for $12.5 million, he's going to be moving here. And so he's going to be looking for a house. He's going to be looking to get his kids enrolled in school. They're going to be looking at all of these different things, which kind of makes it tough to play in a basketball game. And when the Pelicans got in, you know, the other night, he had a day to work on some of this after practice and maybe a little bit before. And he was probably working on it yesterday to a degree. So you have to figure a lot of this stuff is just on the dude's mind, and it can kind of make it a little bit tough to focus solely on basketball. So once he has about a week and this team can kind of, you know, work around him, work with him on different things, that's when you'll start to see him potentially flourish. As we talked about on Locked On Pelicans last week after the trade, he fits really well with Anthony Davis. I've said for years, it's tough to find a big to pair with Anthony Davis because of how unique his skill set is. And now you get one in DeMarcus Cousins, he goes down, and you kind of find a pretty decent replacement in one in Nikola Mirotic, who, despite a poor shooting game, still does kind of all the right things. He can run a pick and roll with Anthony Davis, not to the degree that Cousins does. He can space the court by stretching out to the three-point line. Obviously, you need that with another big in Anthony Davis. That's really why those Ashik Davis lineups didn't work as effectively as they could have been. You just got to give, I think, the guy a little bit of time. Nothing was going right for the Pelicans the other night. And when it comes to the rebounding, look at how many of those were long rebounds for the Utah Jazz, because they're ripping threes and those go to other players. It's usually often guards that kind of grab things like that. The Jazz grabbed 9 offensive boards last night, and most of those were just straight off of like caroms off the rim that went far back. So when you bomb it from three, it's got more force on the ball. It leads to a long rebound. So I'm not as worried about him after last night. I think a lot of the stuff is understandable, explainable, and makes a lot of sense. But if this does keep going forward, then it's going to be a concern. He had a bright debut. He still fits in well with the starting lineup. I think it gives you some more punch. It gives you a little bit more ability to kind of run a more regular or maybe better rotation, I think might be the thing to say. We saw some weird lineups in last night's game, to the point that you kind of just were like, what is going on here? Right now, the Pelicans are still experimenting in the wake of the DeMarcus Cousins injury. It's not ideal to be experimenting with 30 games left or what have you, 29 now. But they certainly are still experimenting, trying to figure out what their rotation should be, what their lineup should be. So again, not ideal, but they don't really have a choice because they were so reliant on that big man pairing. And you can't really say that they shouldn't have been relying on that big man pairing through the season so far with where they got you. So it just puts the Pelicans in a weird spot. You're going to still see weird lineups and weird rotations for a little while. And they still just have to kind of see it in a game situation and try and figure some things out. Case in point, the Pelicans starting lineup played 18 minutes last night. Then the next most used lineup was with 6 minutes, had Anthony Davis, Darius Miller, Mirotic, Moore, and Rondo in there. Played 6. The next 2 lineups play 4 minutes each. They're tied for 3rd. This is where things get weird. You had a lineup of Jrue Holiday, Ian Clark, Darius Miller, Cheick Diallo, and Emeka Okafor. Played 4 minutes. That lineup took 7 shots. That's okay. A bit of an odd lineup to see. I mean, Diallo and Okafor on the court at the same time. Then the lineup after that for 4 minutes. Ian Clark, Cheick Diallo, Jrue Holiday. Then you had DeAndre Liggins, who, by the way, the Pelicans signed to a 2-year deal yesterday to make it official as his second 10-day contract had run out. So obviously the Pelicans still in need of some wing depth. Chose to bring him back, which I think is a fine move. I don't think he's really anything all that special. I know some people really, really like him, but overall, like, I'm just kind of meh on him. So you have that, but that lineup played 4 minutes, took 10 shots. It's a weird lineup. There's no other way to kind of get around that. And the Pelicans are forced to play this right now. One, because of depth issues, and two, to just kind of figure out what works. So another plug, go check out my pinned tweet on my Twitter handle, at Nola Jake. We're going to have some fun with the Pelicans potentially. Got to get 1,000 retweets on something about, if you guys watched the Super Bowl, you did, come on, let's be honest, that Justin Timberlake performance was terrible. Terrible, right? I don't even like that kind of stuff, and I knew that was flat and disappointing. And Pierre decided to make fun of it, the Pelicans mascot at the game last night, did some dancing, and I just tweeted out that Pierre's impression of Timberlake is better than Timberlake's impression of Timberlake. And he liked it, and he said, retweet this 1,000 times. And I said, well, if it gets 1,000 retweets, do I get to shoot half-court shots with you before the game behind the back like Pierre does before every contest? And he said, done. So we got to get 1,000 retweets on it. We're not asking for a million for free nuggets or anything like that. Just 1,000 retweets. You go to at Nola Jake on Twitter, you'll see it's the first pinned thing. It's got the link to the tweet. Go out, retweet it, do me that favor. Let's have some fun with the Pelicans organization. So the Pelicans missed out on Greg Monroe, a guy we all thought might really be headed to New Orleans with such a good fit in his hometown, kind of calling him a little bit here. But it sounds like he's going to be signing with the Boston Celtics instead. Because they can just frankly offer him more money and a more realistic shot at winning a title, even though I think we all know they're not going to be doing that. No one's probably still beating the Warriors, but at least maybe he gets to the NBA Finals that way. So disappointing to see that's who the Pelicans really were targeting and kind of putting the squeeze on for the on the buyout market. So after the Pelicans signed DeAndre Liggins and it was official on Monday, their cap situation puts them at $1.5 million below the hard cap and $950,000 below the luxury tax line. It's a perfect position for them to be in. They still can acquire another person on the buyout market at the prorated veterans minimum. Now, the issue becomes the Pelicans currently have 15 players under contract, but they can open up a roster spot if need be. Emeka Okafor was signed to a 10-day deal, and he could easily be cut or just let that expire to sign someone on the buyout market, so they have more or less an open spot. If they do decide to keep Okafor, you could then additionally just cut Liggins because his next year is only a partial guarantee. It's usually just like $50,000, and it's got a guarantee by date. So the Pelicans can cut him then, and it makes a lot of sense for them to, you know, keep moving forward with the new guy that they want. So it gives you protection here. You sign Liggins because it's a smart thing to do. He's a body. He can play some defense. He hits open shots on occasion. Doesn't really do anything great. Probably, you know, might not be a good person in general if you look at his history and everything. So the Pelicans, you know, have that roster spot or potentially two if they need it. So, you know, as we kind of gear up towards the trade deadline, and that's this Thursday, you know, don't expect any real moves. Right now, what the Pelicans would need to do is move someone with salary. You'd be looking at someone like Alexei Ajinsa in his $4.5-5 million contract for next year. Doesn't really look all that tradable. There's a number of articles out right now about how there's less cap space around the league as a whole. And if you think someone then wants to take on $5 million next year for a second-round pick or two, not really. Second-round picks usually fetch you in the $1.5 to $2.5 million range if you sell them during the draft. So if you look at it that way, if they're worth $1.5 million, let's say $2 million, that's still, you know, you're sending $5 million out along with $4 million in assets. Doesn't quite work out when they've got to send something back to you as well. And the Pelicans likely want an expiring deal in any trade they do because they're worried about the luxury tax implications for next year when they re-sign DeMarcus Cousins to a big-time contract. So that's kind of where this team stands right now. So in about a week's time, let's say, you know, after the trade deadline is when players start to get bought out. Greg Monroe was done exceptionally early and is not the norm. So that's when this team's going to get really active there. You'll see Brook Lopez likely get bought out from his tenure with the Lakers. He would definitely be a good option to go after potentially, though he kind of fits in the vein of Mirotić and you'd maybe want someone else. There's a number of other players. The Pelicans still would like a guard. I think they'd still like another big. So as we talked about a week or two ago, this team has a lot of flexibility in the direction they want to go. And that direction is definitely going to be on the veteran buyout market. That deal for Mirotić cleared enough space from the luxury tax, from the hard cap, to give them enough breathing room that they can go out and potentially do that. So that's the good thing for the Pels. The sad thing is there's no huge reinforcements likely coming in to try and give this team a big boost. There'd be incremental increases at best, which is not a bad thing, certainly, and the Pelicans could use that. So we'll see what they do. Keep an eye out on those. The rumors you want to be following more than anything are going to be the guys on the buyout market. Other than that, you're looking at having to potentially trade Etuan Moore. I don't think anyone wants to do that, really. He's been very, very good for the Pelicans all season long. He's got a very good contract that next year, when you're looking to get productive players, you're not going to get someone at $8.5 million that's giving you kind of what he's given you on the free agent market or through a trade. So I think they like the cost-controlled asset they have in Etuan Moore this season, so they're not likely to let him go anywhere. And then the other asset might be a future first-round pick, but the way the stipend rule works with the protections on, you know, the first-round pick and things like that in the future can make that very difficult for the Pelicans to try and trade, because you do need to wait kind of until that pick conveys. So you're not looking at them making a move with a future first until potentially after this upcoming NBA draft. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Primer on the trade deadline now that we know Greg Monroe isn't coming in. Looked at Nikola Mirotić, what he did for the team in his first two games, and talked about what went wrong in that Jazz game. His defense has got to figure it out. And at what point, I'm just going to throw this out there, do we consider Ehrman maybe not a great coach? You know, he's got this defensive specialist reputation. He's had one good defensive year here in New Orleans. You can point to injuries, you can point to all these other things. But if you guys want to blame Gentry, you got to look and blame Ehrman a little bit as well. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.